What up, though? What's good with it? Welcome to another episode of the Speak On It podcast with your boy T Lip. You feel me? I got a special episode today, man. Another special episode, another bonus episode where we break down, you know, probably one of the game's most best players, Hall of Fame players, top 10 players ever. And we just break down, you know, some things about this guy. Some things you may know, some things you might not know. With this episode, I'm bringing to you Kevin Durant. Let's talk about Kevin Durant. Let's talk about the easy money sniper. Let's talk about the 7-foot assassin. Let's talk about the silent killer. No pun intended. Let's talk about the best scorer ever. Let's talk about the gentle giant. Let's talk about one of the most electrifying guys that we've ever seen, that this game has ever seen. Let's talk about it. I always get the question, like you always hear Stephen A. Smith. He's the best player in the world on this planet if he's healthy. He's the best player to ever dribble a basketball. He's the best player in the NBA. He's the best scorer the game has ever seen. You know, he makes clutch shots. He does all of this. The whole world think Kevin Durant, you know, is the best one. Is the best player in the NBA when he's healthy. There's also a lot of people that feel like Kevin Durant is literally one of the best scorers in the NBA ever. Ever. First off, he came out the draft 2007. He's 2007 number one draft pick. Played 80 games, rookie of the year. Averaged 20 points, 0.3. 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Rookie of the year. Came in, got his feet wet. That's Kevin Durant. He's a walking 20 points, easily. That was his lowest average of his whole career, was his rookie year. Second year, 25 points. Third year, 30 points. Fourth year, 27 points, 27.7, rounded up be 28 points, but it's 27.7. In 2011, he averaged 28 points. In 2012, he averaged 28 points. In 2013, he averaged 32 points. That was one of his best seasons. He played 81 games. He averaged 32 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. That was by far one of his best years. 2014, he averaged 25 points, but he only played 27 games. That's the year he had that foot injury where he missed basically the whole season, the whole year. Then he come back off the injury. 2015, played 72 games, averages 28.2 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. That was another electric year by Kevin Durant. That was the year he left. That was his last year in OKC. He got there in 2007, left in 2015. That was the year he left. He was up 3-1 on the Warriors and ended up losing that series. He ended up losing that series. He was a part of that series where they was up 3-1 and lost. So, yeah, that was the game they lost. Then he took his talent to Golden State. It was ruffles that he didn't want to play with Russ anymore. He couldn't win there. He kind of outgrew that brand, outgrew that organization, outgrew that team. And he wanted to take his career and go in the direction he wanted to go to. I'm glad he did that because there's a lot of players that get drafted by these teams, or at least back in the day where they used to get drafted by these teams, and they would give their entire careers to these teams and let the team dictate when they were done with them. So guys like Kevin Garnett, nothing against Kevin Garnett. He was a Hall of Fame player and everything, but he stayed in Minnesota so long, like where he could have just left and went to another team and been a bigger player on a bigger brand. He could have been went to Boston in year 5 instead of waiting there to go there later in his career. I can go down a list. There's so many guys that stay with these teams for so long, and then it'd be over at the end. Even Paul Pierce. I mean, Boston is a great spot, but Boston wasn't really competing that much when it was just Paul Pierce on the team. Like, they was calling him the truth, and he was a scorer, but they wasn't winning no games. Nobody was worried about Boston in the playoffs up until Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen got there. So a lot of teams, you know, squander a lot of time with the team that drafted them, and then they end up, you know, leaving or getting traded to a team they didn't want to go to, or they done wasted another 5 years trying to, you know, build an organization or go through the organization's ups and downs and go through coaching changes and all of these things. And it's like, no, I'd rather just go. I'm going to leave. So I love that Kevin Durant did that. It started with LeBron James. It started with LeBron James where he left and said, I'm not going to wait for y'all. I'm not going to sit here and wait for y'all to continue to, you know, bring in this coach, bring in that coach, try to get players to come and play with me, try to bring players to these low market teams, you know, wait on, oh, we got to draft well, we got to do this well. And it's like, nah, I'm going to take my talents. I'm the brand. I'm bigger than, like, some of these players now are brands are bigger than these teams' brand. Some of these NBA players got more followers than the organization page, than they NBA team page. So some of them are bigger than the organization. So I can see why Kevin Durant left. I'll get into more of why he left or how I feel how he left later on. We're just going through his years. In Golden State in 2016, he played in 62 games, averaged 25 points, in where he won a championship. They won a championship, and he was the finals MVP. In 2017, he played 68 games, averaged 26 points, won another championship, was the finals MVP of that championship. In 2018, played in 78 games, averaged 26 points, and that was the year they lost the championship. That was the year he tore his Achilles in the finals. And that was the end of Golden State. That was the end of that little dynasty with him there. That was a dynasty. They went to 3 straight finals. Would have three-peated if he didn't get hurt. Because if he wouldn't have got hurt, I wouldn't even say they needed Klay. If Steph and KD's on the court, they beat the Toronto Raptors easily. I'm going to say that. I'll get into more than that to that later. But, yeah, that was it there. That was a tough year for them in 2018. It was a lot of, you know, ruffles. They had him. That's when him and Draymond had the argument. And the team didn't know if he was going to stay. And they wanted him to commit, but he didn't commit. So it was a little friction between the team. And he ended up tearing his Achilles. And then he also ended up requesting a trade and leaving. He requested a trade. Him and Kyrie Irving decided they was going to go to Brooklyn. They end up going to Brooklyn. He missed the whole season of 2019 recovering from an Achilles injury, so he missed that whole year. Came back in 2020, averaged 27 points, 26.9. He only played 35 games. He had other injuries. He had hips. He had Achilles repair. He had MCL on his knee. So he missed a lot of those games that year too. So 2021. He played 55 games and averaged 29.9 points. So basically 30 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. And that was a great year for him. It's been 3 years since he really played. He played 55 games that year. So that was a good year for him to come out, you know, do his thing. Then the next year was actually this season, 2022 season with Brooklyn. There was a lot going on. That summer, he requested a trade. He wanted to go to Phoenix. It was either Phoenix or it was talks of him going back to Golden State. Some people would think he would go to L.A. and play with LeBron. It was a lot of questions. There was a lot of speculations. Miami Heat was in the name. They was one of the teams that he would consider going to. So it was a lot of speculation going on between Kevin Durant's name at that time. He started the season off with Brooklyn. 39 games around the trade deadline, they traded him. They traded Kyrie first, and then they traded him because they knew it was like, I'm not about to. I knew for a fact once they traded Kyrie that Kevin Durant was not about to play with that team. He was not about to play and waste another, like, 30, 40 games trying to will this team to the finals or to the playoffs. He wasn't about to do that. So he said, okay, trade me to Phoenix. They end up getting two guys back. That's basically two young players. That's two key pieces in Markel Bridges and Cam Johnson. So they got some great pieces back. The Nets, they might be able to do something. Who knows what they're going to be able to do. So let's get down to this. Obviously, we know that Kevin Durant is one of the best scorers in the NBA. He's a walk-in. His career average is 27.3 points and 7 rebounds. So this is an electric guy. This guy's a walking 25, 26 points a game. This is my thing with Kevin Durant. I hear the people say all the time, Kevin Durant is one of the best scorers we've ever seen. He scores the easiest. He's the most efficient. You know, there's no shot he wouldn't take. There's no shot he couldn't make. And I counteract them with this. I would always say, well, why doesn't he average 35, 40 points a game? Like, remember when James Harden was in Houston and he had like a 3-4 year span where, man, he was just dropping buckets. I mean, like, he would have games where he'd just go for 50 for like 10 games in a row. Like, I remember the time where James Harden was going 40 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds. Like, he was having like crazy numbers where he was just easily getting buckets, shooting the three ball, creating his own shot, getting to the rack, getting to the foul line, doing whatever he wanted to do. Why can't Kevin Durant do that? Why can't Kevin Durant just be selfish and say, bro, give me the ball. I'm about to take over this game. I ain't here. I want to play the game the correct way. No. If you the best scorer ever in NBA history, one of the best scorers the NBA have ever seen, you should be able to just dominate games. No matter if it's a bad shot or if two people on you or if three people on you. You a 7-foot sniper. So any shot is going to be difficult for a team to defend versus you anyway, because when you jump, now you're 9 feet tall. Now your shot is being shot from 9 feet. If not 10 feet, who knows how high you jump? Why don't Kevin Durant average 35 points, 40 points a game? Why Kevin Durant only has 65, I'm saying it like he only have, like, this shit ain't a lot. But he only have 65 40-point games. He only has 8 50-point games. Like, this is a guy that can easily score anytime he wants to. Whatever he want to do, he can do it. His career high is 55 points. We've seen Corey Brewer have a higher career high than that. We've seen Devin Booker score 70 points. We've seen Donovan Mitchell score 70 points. We've seen Damian Lillard have these splashes where he's unstoppable and he can go for 60 or 70. He went for 70 this year. We've seen Kevin Porter Jr. go for 50 points. We've seen Tyler Haliburton go for 40 points multiple times. We've seen Tyrese Maxey go for... I've seen Austin Reeves go for 40 points. Austin Reeves went for 40 points one game with the Lakers. Look it up. I've seen Taylor Horton Tucker go for 40 points. So if Kevin Durant is the best scorer of all time, why don't he take over games? Why don't he say, okay, I'm about to go for 40 this night. I'm about to go for 50 this night. I'm about to go for 60 this night. And I know there's going to be some people out there arguing like, oh, well, you know, he just makes the right plays and he don't take bad shots. But if you're the greatest scorer, it don't matter if you take a bad shot. You should be able to make it. It don't matter. It don't matter if they come in and double team you. You should be able to notify the double team, take a step to one side, elevate up, and make a shot. This is why I say people sleep on this. This is why I say Carmelo Anthony is one of the best scorers we've ever seen. Carmelo Anthony is one of the best scorers we ever seen. I mean, from the post, mid-range, attacking the basket, three-point range. And people say, oh, he don't pass the ball like that. Okay, cool. We know Carmelo Anthony not going to pass the ball. But Carmelo Anthony is one of the best scorers the NBA has ever seen. Period. He played in a physical, when the league was really physical. Like, people kill me, all the league soft now. Bruh, so was the league soft when Kobe was in the league? Kobe retired in 2016. Was the league still soft then? Was the league soft then? Was the league soft in 2010? Was the league soft in 2007? I just want to know. Because y'all love saying, oh, well, the league soft. No, the league didn't get soft until damn near like 2000. The league really didn't get soft until that Golden State era when Kevin Durant got there. That was around 2017-18. I would probably say, just to put a year out there, I would say the league started to kind of get, you know, softer around like 2018. Because guys started to shoot threes more. Guys started to get smarter. Like the center position started to down. The four position started to be a stretch forward where they started to, you know, take the power forward, the two post guys out of the game and start to spread the offense out even more, make it up-tempo, make it a faster game so everybody can watch and love what they're watching and not get bored with watching it. So I go back to say this about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is one of the best scorers we ever seen. Why don't he take the scoring title every year? He has four scoring titles. He has four scoring titles. But he should have more, right? If he's the best scorer ever, he should have more. He can score any given day, any given night. He can score however he need to score. Mid-range, layups. His mid-range is literally damn near 90%. Free throws, he knocked down all his free throws. He can shoot the three with the best of them. I mean, his name is Easy Money Sniper. So you know he can shoot the rock. Why don't he average 35 to 40 points? It ain't like the team asking him to create offense for other players. It ain't like they asking him to really rebound. It ain't like he's been this defensive all-NBA guy his entire career, because he hasn't. Yeah, he gives a little effort on defense. Yeah, it's easy to play defense when you play around Draymond and Iguodala and Sean Livingston and Klay Thompson. And I don't think Andrew Bogut was there when he got there. But just think about that lineup I just named right there. Klay Thompson was literally the best two-way guy in the NBA before his injury. And I'm not saying he's not that right now. He's doing his thing. Shout out to Klay Thompson. Love him. Love his whole aura. Love everything about him. But what he did on defense before he got hurt, he was a top two two-way guy in the NBA. Then you had Iguodala that can go and check Brian. Y'all swear Iguodala locked up Brian. But even the fact that y'all saying he locked up Brian shows that he was a great defensive guy. And you got Draymond Green in his active prime playing defense. And you got Livingston that's great on defense too. And then you add him in there. And then you put David West in there. Like, they didn't act, it wasn't that hard for him to play defense with those guys around him. So, yeah, Golden State might have made him a better defensive player, but he ain't never won no defense MVP. He ain't never came close to that. He ain't never won no all-NBA first-team defense. I don't even think he won a second-team all-NBA defense. So, yeah, he's capable of doing it because he's a seven-foot guy. But if I'm not putting Kevin Durant on my best offensive guy. I'm not doing it. So, why don't Kevin Durant go out there and average 50? Why don't he have more games where he just explodes? Why does he have to? I get irritated because he has to play the right way all the time. Like, bro, fuck that. Can you just have a game where we say, hey, we throwing the ball all day. You feel me? I don't care what coach say. This is football talk. Hey, Patrick Mahomes, I know you can take over game. Take over the game. We throwing the ball every play this game. Let's make it happen. You need to have games where you just say, hey, we're going to feed this person. They just going to go off. Why don't Kevin Durant have more of those games? This easy money sniper. Another thing. Kevin Durant is one of the best players the NBA has ever seen. Kevin Durant is at peace with his game right now. I rock with Kevin Durant. I'm just talking about just giving perspective on basketball. I rock the person Kevin Durant and the basketball player, I rock with him. But I'm talking about the game right now. I rock with him for sure. His tweet and everything. Funny ass dude. Kevin Durant has played with some great players in the NBA. Do I have to name them? Kevin Durant has played with James Harden. James Harden twice. Russell Westbrook. Kyrie Irving. Steph Curry. Klay Thompson. Draymond Green. Iguodala, that was a finals MVP. I'm not gonna act like he's somebody that's not good. That wasn't great according to him winning a finals MVP. And now he's playing with Devin Booker and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. And he has two rings to show for it. He has two rings to show for it. And the two rings he got, they was with the Warriors. That Warriors team was 73 and they was the best team in the NBA. They had the best record in the NBA, and he joined that team after he lost to them from being up 3-1. So I never like rock with that. Like, I'm a competitor. I never really respect that. But it was good for the NBA. It was good to have that. He went into that villain role. Like, that's what it was. Remember when Brian went to the Miami, he was like, that first year I feel like I had to be the villain, you know, because people didn't like what I did and people was against it and people was this and blah, blah, blah. That 3 years in Golden State was the same, kind of like that. It had the same feeling as far as being a villain when he went to Golden State. And I don't know if he liked that. I don't know if he didn't like that. I don't know. But the difference is when LeBron went to Miami, right? That was LeBron's team. I know it was Wade County and Wade did his thing, but Dwayne Wade was healthy for 2 years out of the 4 years Brian was there. And that was the first 2 years. The first year they didn't win a championship. That was prime D-Wade right there. That was good with D-Wade. He was healthy. He should have won MVP before that in 2009. The Miami Heat just wasn't that good, but he was one of the best players in the NBA. He always been one of the best players in the NBA for sure. That was a great D-Wade year that year. Then the next year, they won a championship versus the Thunder against Kevin Durant. That was another good year for D-Wade. But after that, his body started to break down. His body was kind of breaking down before that. So that wasn't his prime. You got to understand, D-Wade went to college for multiple years. So he had multiple years on his career already. And what he had to do when Shaq left, he won the finals and the finals MVP in 2005. And Shaq ended up leaving, I think, not the next year, the year after that. So from 2006 all the way to 2010, D-Wade was losing and carrying the weight. So he was carrying a lot of load, and they were losing. Like, they wasn't making the playoffs. They were probably making it, you know, to the first round, and that was it. Now, let me look on the other hand. Let me switch it around. When Kevin Durant went to Golden State, that was not his team. That was Steph Curry's team. Because Steph Curry had previously just won I think he coming off two MVPs. And went to the finals and won the championship. So they fresh off winning the championship and fresh off a guy winning two MVPs. And they in their young prime. They in their 20s. So they ready to go. It ain't like, okay, how it was in Miami. Like I said, D-Wade had two good years of playing with prime LeBron. Them last 2 years wasn't prime D-Wade. D-Wade was carrying, LeBron was carrying that team for the last 2 years. That's why he left, because he's like, man, I'm about to go somewhere else. You feel me? Like, D-Wade kind of breaking down a little bit. Bosh was breaking down. I need to go somewhere else. I need to go and go around some young studs and go make this happen. And he went back to Cleveland. But when Kevin Durant left Golden State, that was in 2018. We're in 2023 right now, and Golden State are still great with the same nucleus. And they fresh off winning a championship with the same nucleus. That's right there tell you how different LeBron going to Miami and Kevin Durant going to Golden State really is. The Golden State guys are still in their prime right now. They're still doing their thing. Still making things happen. Still all-star. Still all-NBA. Steph Curry is still name is still in the MVP conversations. Still a top five player in the NBA. You can't say that for Miami. So when he went there and got them rings, I mean, it's good. It's good for him. He got his rings. He got comfortable. That's what he wants. That's what you play. You play to win championships. And, you know, once you get it, it's like, okay, I'm good. So he left. Then he leaves there. Go teams up in Brooklyn and go play with Kyrie Irving. And then a year after that, they add James Harden to that. So now you have literally three of the most prolific offensive threats on one team. Three of the most prolific offensive threats in the NBA. And that's James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving on one team. Now, they didn't play a lot together because James Harden was really there just for like a year. And a lot of guys was injured, on and off, injured, this and that. So they didn't play a lot of games together. They probably played like 15 games together within a year span. But when they made that trade, that was like, oh, my God, they win the championship. It ain't no way they win it. It ain't no way they don't win the championship. They got three of the best guys that can get a bucket. It don't matter what their defense look like. It don't matter what coach they got. It don't matter about none of that. They got three of guys that can go out there and give you 50 points on any given night if they need to. So they're going to win the championship. I was always one of the ones like, bro, they're not going to win a championship. It's only one basketball. So they all not going to be able to go off every single night. At the end of the day, in the fourth quarter, them three guys are going to be on the court. And those guys are defensive liabilities, especially if they don't have a real defensive presence for the other two guys that's on the court with them. So I'm not expecting James Harden to play defense. I'm not expecting Kyrie Irving to play that great defense. And I'm not expecting Kevin Durant coming off an Achilles injury to play that good of defense a year off of that injury. So that's three guys that we're going to be able to get buckets on anytime. And that's going to wear them off on one end and take away what they're going to do on the offensive end. So I was never one of the ones that was like, the Nets are the championship favorites and they're going to win a championship. That's why I just laugh at the Stephen A. Smiths and, you know, the Kendrick Perkins and the Jay Williams. I ain't saying nothing against them, but those are guys that were saying, like, they're going to win a championship. They're going to win. I'm like, bro, no, they're not. No, they're not going to win. It's going to be tough for them to win. And obviously we see that didn't work. So that he ended up leaving. Now he's with Phoenix Suns right now. Playing with a good aging vet of Chris Paul, the point guard in which they call him. And then they have Devin Booker, a guy that scored a career high of 70 points, a young superstar. And this is a team that went to the finals a couple years ago. So they still have that nucleus with them. And now you got two superstars. You got the best player in the NBA on your team in Kevin Durant. You got a guy that's been in the MVP race for the last couple years in Devin Booker. You got a vet that knows how to play the game, knows how to control the offense, knows how to make the plays, not ego-driven, especially not at this time in his career, and Chris Paul. You have DeAndre Ayton that's a young guy that can give you 20 and 10 on any given night. And you got some pieces around them. So now, I feel like at this point in Kevin Durant's career right now, I feel like he's at peace with everything. If he never shot another basketball in the NBA, I think he'd be at peace with what he's done in the NBA. I think he's at peace with himself on and off the court. And that's a great place to be. So I'm not mad. I'm not mad at Kevin Durant at all. I actually love this decision for him to do that because I didn't want to see him with the Nets without Kyrie and James Harden and him just sitting there trying to will them through the playoffs and for this last year after he already requested a trade. He requested a trade this summer. So it was the writing was already on the wall. So, no, I did not want to see him post Kyrie with the Nets with a new coach trying to figure this out. So I'm glad he said, fuck this. I'm going to take control of my career and I'm going to leave again. I don't care what nobody got to say about nothing. I'm going to leave again. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to go where it's fun to play basketball and where I could win. That's what it is. He ain't got to put himself through all that rebuilding and all that bullshit that was going on with the Nets and their front office and how their coaching staff was doing and the Brooklyn Nets fans not even coming to the games and not even appreciative of his, you know, his greatness. It's like, man, I'm about to go. I'm out. So I respect that from him for sure. I respect that from him. So I'm excited to see what this Suns team going to do. I'm excited to see them go into the playoffs because the Western Conference, every round is going to be it's going to be interesting this year. There's going to be a 6 seed that beat a 3 seed. There potentially might be a 7 seed that beat a 2 seed. There potentially might be an 8 seed that beat a 1 seed in the West. I'm calling it out right now. Y'all heard what I said. I don't know where the team's going to land at. I don't know who they're going to be. But all of that can happen. So I'm excited to see what the Phoenix Suns got this year. I would say, hands down, Kevin Durant is the best player on this team. And he's going to be even a bigger reason on why this team win than he was in Golden State. His impact and his hands on this organization that has never won a finals, a championship, his impact on this organization is going to be bigger than his impact on the Warriors. And I love that for him. I want to see him win. If not this year, maybe it's next year because I think that team will be better next year. And I think Kevin Durant will be a Phoenix Sun, if not for the rest of his career. I think he'll be there for the next 3 to 4 years for sure. Because, like, why would I leave D-Book? Why would I? And I'm in Phoenix. Like, why would I leave D-Book at this time? Like, you know things happen. Things happen. But I think those two guys playing next to each other are easier to play with. I think they, on paper, they are like a top three duo. If not top two. And just the more they play with each other, the more they be around each other. They seem like they both low-key chill dudes that like talking shit and like playing the game, but they really love playing the game. So they're going to get along with playing the game and understanding the game and really chasing greatness on the court. Because they really hoopers. Like, if you know D-Book, he a hooper. If you know Kevin Durant, he a hooper. And I ain't saying that's the number one thing in their life, but they love that. And they gonna do what they gotta do with that. They not gonna, you know, have a lot of distractions outside of that. So I'm excited to see what this Suns team got. I'm excited to see D-Book and Kevin Durant for the next four or five years, 6 years, 7 years, if that, because I don't see why Kevin Durant would leave. D-Book is still young. So they just going to keep bringing better players around them, more, you know, better fits around them, continue to make that team better for them. So I'm excited to see that. I'm going to lead this off with this. I think Kevin Durant is a great scorer. I don't think he's the best scorer in the NBA because when I think about the best scorer, I think about a person that can just really get buckets whenever he wants to and does it even when he don't feel like it. Does it when it's not even the right shot. You feel me? Or average 30 points, average 35 points, average 40 points. Always up there. That's what I look at when I think about the one of the best scorers. But I think he is definitely, you know, top three for sure in the NBA. So, what do y'all think? Let me know, man. If y'all agree, if y'all disagree, let me know, man. We got to talk about this Kevin Durant shit, man. Speak on it podcast, man. You know, I had to drop y'all an episode about Kevin Durant, man, one of the best players in the NBA. Because that's what he is. Easy money sniper, man. Shout out to that guy. Shout out to that king, man. He doing his thing, man. And, hey, make sure you tune in to another episode of Speak on it podcast. Lip out.